our sins in his own body. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And all that God declared concerning them, verses 12 and 13, the iniquity of Ephraim bound up, his sins hid, sorrows. What happened? God knew all of the iniquity. He knew. What happened? It says, he laid it on him. He bore the guilt. And now that which Almighty God said was bound up against us, he nailed to the cross. Bore in his own body. And God said, I'll remember him no more. I'll remember him no more. Not in judgment. All the guilt of God's people be washed away by the crimson fountain of his blood. And now, the Lord speaks to his people who were in bondage. And he said, oh, death. Now he's going to talk to death. Death, I will be your plague to them, for them. Oh, grave, I'm going to be your destruction. The Spirit of God moved upon the Apostle Paul to quote that passage right there and give perfect understanding to exactly what the Lord said back in Hosea. Listen, this is what he said. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, whenever the Lord's pleased to take one, as he did our dear brother, put him in the ground. When this corruptible shall put on incorruption, when Almighty God is pleased to raise him and all just like him out of the grave, this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. And here's what God says. Death is swallowed up in victory. And in the exact quote of what the Lord said in Hosea, the Spirit of God moved upon the Apostle Paul. Here's the way it was said back in Hosea. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. And here's what the Holy Ghost told Paul to write. O death, where is thy sting? Where's your sting now? O grave, where's your victory now? For these that deserved death, for these that would not come to me, those that destroyed themselves, this spiritual Israel that I've already always loved, this Ephraim that I chose, those that in themselves, sinners, and all of that sin remembered and known, God knows, I bore all of it. I ransomed them. I ransomed them from the grave. I redeemed them from death. And now, death and grave, where's your sting and victory for them now? He who changeth not, said this in closing, remembrance shall be hid from mine eyes. What does that mean? He said, I'm not going to change my mind. I won't. Do we deserve judgment? Yes, sir, we deserve it. Are we really sinners against God? Yes. Well, what's the hope for a sinner, one everlastingly loved of God, one that has made his heart's confession of Christ having done something for him he hadn't done for himself? What's the hope that he's got? Here's my only hope. He ransomed me. He redeemed me. He loved me. He gave me life in himself. And I owe all that I am to him. By the grace of God, I am what I am. May the Lord bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake. All right. Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 18. Psalms 18. Psalm chapter 18. Again, as we saw the words of the Lord Himself, these two are the words of the Lord. I know the Psalms were penned by men, but these are the words of Christ Himself. Listen to what the word of the Lord says. Psalm 18, verse 43-44. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen, a people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. I'd like to preach for a few minutes now on this subject. How sure is salvation? Now here's one thing I know. All the religions of this world set forth one false doctrine. There's only two doctrines, two messages being set forth. It's either salvation is by man's work or salvation is of the Lord. That's the only two messages that's being preached. So all of these religions, and here's the bottom line. What we are called to do is to proclaim what saith the Lord. What does the Lord say? This is all I'm interested in. This is the only thing that matters. There's one universal lie that is born through all false teaching. It is the universal lie from the mouth of Satan, who is the prince of lies. And that message gives mankind nothing but an empty hope. There is no hope. It's an empty message of security. Now, men may attempt, and I'm telling you something from experience. I told you, many of you here, I'm sure, some of you may have always come up under the truth. And until the Lord opened your eyes to the truth, you still didn't believe it. He had to give you life, even sitting under the gospel. But I came up under false religion, under free will, false man-honoring religion. And I'm telling you that whenever you say to someone, if you said to me, while I'm in Armenian free will religion, doesn't matter. I mean, there was two or three different denominations there, but it's all the same message, same thing, you know. Now, you may say to me, you believe in salvation by works, and I would adamantly tell you that is not true. I don't believe in salvation by works. I believe in salvation by grace. But all you'd have to do is listen to what was being said, and you would realize that what it was an offer that was being given to me and to anybody else that was sitting there listening to it. And what was being said was, all you have to do is accept it. Now, my friend, that's works. That's works. If someone is offering you something, and you offer me a $100 bill, I can tell you right now, I'm going to take it. If you offer it to me, and I take it, the reason I got it is because I decided. I could have said no, but I decided to take it. That's works. That's the bottom line. And the irony of this whole thing is that all the religions of this world, they speak of salvation. They use that word, salvation. Now, here's what word salvation means. Deliverance, welfare, prosperity, victory. Salvation. And the problem is, the irony is, there is no deliverance. There is no victory of salvation by man's works. It's not there. They're telling you that it is. If you will accept this, you will be saved. And the scripture says, not by the works of righteousness which we've done, not by our decision, not by our free will, the exercise of faith, but according to His mercy. His compassion. Now listen to this. Someone says, I got saved. I got saved. That's not scriptural language. Here's scriptural language. He saved us. That's scriptural language. He saved us. He delivered us. He preserved us. He made us whole. How? By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, by the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. Life was imparted. A dead man, life is imparted to him. And the terminology is, he saved us. I didn't have anything to do with my salvation. You say you believed. Well, that was just an effect. I believe because He gave me faith to believe. He saved us by grace. And while these different denominations proclaim this salvation, they always set forth man to possess the ability to resist or to accept. So it's always work. Now let's just look for just a minute. What does the Lord have to say? Psalm 18. Here's the Lord speaking, and here's biblical salvation. This is what this is. Verse 43. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people. Now here's the cry of the submissive servant of Jehovah. This is the cry of the blessed Lord Jesus Christ as He praises the Father for the Father's goodness and mercy in the salvation and deliverance of His sheep. Listen to the voice of His thankfulness unto the Father. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people. Now, the amazing thing about this is in 2 Samuel. I'll just turn there for you. 2 Samuel chapter 22. This is almost quoted verbatim, but there's one change. 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 44. Listen to this. Hold it. I'll read it back in Psalm 18:43. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people. Now here's the Holy Spirit giving that verse in 2 Samuel 22:44. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of my people. Do you notice any difference in that? One of them said the people, but the Spirit of God clarified that in 2 Samuel 22. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of my people. You've delivered me from the complaining and the grappling and the contention and the controversy of my people. The Lord, as we've said, has a people. How does He treat His people? John 17. John 17, I'll tell you how He treats them. Here's John 17. Listen how he treats his people. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of my people. You delivered me from that. Listen, it's what he has. What does he do for? John 17, 2. Thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. How does he treat them? He gives them life. That's how he treats them. How does he treat them? Look at John 17, 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. They're thine. How does he treat them? He gives them life. He prays for them. Look at 17, 14. He gives them God's word. I have given them thy word. And the world has hated them because they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. How does he treat them? He gives them life. He prays for them. He gives them the word of God. God has a people. And he said to the Father, You've delivered me from the strivings, from the rebellion of my people. Here the Spirit of God reveals that marvelous work of God Almighty in removing that hatred and resentment of God's elect toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And how do you know when they've been delivered? When the Lord said, "You delivered me from their strivings." Isn't that marvelous terminology? Marvelous thought. Father, you delivered me from their rebellion. How do you know when they've been delivered? It's an amazing thing. They believe God. They just, one minute, they didn't believe. And then, I believe that. In regenerating grace, the Spirit of God removes a heart of stone and gives a new heart. A heart that was enmity against God, against His Christ. And now by grace, it's gone. The striving is gone. It's over. In the day of God's power, His people are made willing and spontaneously made to seek Him, who is their only hope. The Lord's conquest by the Spirit of God in regenerating grace, the Lord's conquest of His people, is said to be His deliverance from their strivings against Him. He who has everlastingly loved His own now beholds them loving Him. Coming after them, The victory over their rebellion is nothing less than their absolute and total salvation from themselves to His honor and His glory. He says back in Psalm 18:43, Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people. Thou hast made me the head of the heathen. He is the surety of His people. God the Father gave him a people, everlastingly loved. He said, you made me the head of the heathen. He's the head of the body, right? He's the head of the church. Who is the church? It's His sheep. It's His people. Not Jews only, but Jews and Gentiles. Out of every blood and kindred and nation, people, He said, who I've not known shall serve me. Not that the Lord didn't know them at all, for He's always known His people. But according to the everlasting covenant of grace, here the Spirit of God speaks of those strangers and heathens from the commonwealth. They were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Here's what the scripture says, 2:11. Wherefore, remember, Paul's writing to Gentiles. He said, you remember something. You being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision is in the flesh made of hands, that at that time you were without Christ. Now, were they without Christ in God's everlasting covenant of grace? Oh, no. No, they were always in the Lord. But in regenerating grace, being brought into fruition, being brought out and revealed to be who they are. He said that at that time, you were without Christ. Aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in this world. According to God's purpose, always there. But as far as regeneration, they were strangers. And the Lord says, you've made me head of the heathen, a people whom I've not known. They'll serve me. Oh, and concerning these, concerning those given him, his people, his church, his bride. Now listen, what's going to happen. When it pleases the Lord to call them by power and grace, this is what happens. Now you write this down. Amazing thing. The scripture declares in verse 44, Psalm 18:44, as soon. At the hearing of that new ear, as soon as they hear of me. Now, it doesn't mean as soon as they hear about me. It means as soon as they hear from me. When I speak, is it not amazing how long one might sit under the gospel and hear and hear and hear and never hear? And then all of a sudden, wait a minute. Are you saying that God everlastingly set his affection on me? Are you saying that Christ died in particular for me, and that the Spirit of God powerfully called me out of darkness? Is that what you're saying? Yeah, I've never heard that before. And I'm thinking, I've been preaching that since I got here. He said, as soon as they hear of me, not merely with the natural ear, not just a nominal hearing by the ear, but when a heart is given a new ear. He said, my sheep hear my voice. And until they hear, they don't believe. They just hear, they'll hear what I'm saying right here. And he said, well, okay. I guess that sounded okay. When they hear, as soon as they hear. I love the straightforwardness of God's word. You know. Saul. Saul, who are you, Lord? Matthew, follow me. That thief on the cross, Lord, when you enter into your kingdom. Zacchaeus, come down. I must, as soon as they hear. The Lord told his disciples when they were, you know, so thankful that the demons and the devils were in subjection. He says, blessed are your eyes, for they see. You want to know a blessing? He said, not that these, be glad your names are written in heaven. But he told them, he said, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears. Blessed are your eyes and ears. They see and hear. And what do those who hear his voice do as soon as they hear? Well, according to the scriptures, as soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. As soon as they hear, they obey. Obey how? Listen to this. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe on him. As I've said before, not believe that he is in existence. Demons believe that. but rest your soul on Him and not on yourself. Believe on Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that salvation is of the Lord and not by your work of righteousness that you think has saved you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. His word that comes in power, quickening grace, is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. As soon as they hear of me, they obey. They obey. The called out ones, they don't find the commands of their Lord to be grievous. Now listen to this command. Follow me. How do you follow Him? Wherever He leads. Hear the word of the Lord. Come unto me, all you labor, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. In the day of God's power, they gladly, willingly, they forsake all hope, all false refuges for Him. You that believe, how long would I have to try to convince you to go back to believing free will? How long would I have to talk? You say, well, but for the grace of God, I'll never believe that. By God's grace only, I'll believe. How long, Mark, how long would it take you to go back to a confessional and talk to an idiot that's sitting, that thinks he can absolve you from? That's what I was told. That man on the other side of that box, that little, he could absolve me of my sins. He lied to me. As soon as they hear of me, they obey. He is the rock of our salvation. It's upon Him we call, we submit. He that's begun a good work in us shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Oh, how sweet the thought. Strangers. Strangers by nature. Not strangers to Him, but strangers as far as we're concerned. Strangers to the common. Strangers shall submit themselves unto me. Strangers as far as our knowledge of Him at one time. Oh, but thanks be unto God. When He calls, we obey, we follow. How sure is salvation? As sure as God's word. I shall save my people from their sins. Call His name Jesus. Shall. All that the Father giveth me. I love the positiveness of the gospel. May the Lord bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake and for our eternal good and comfort. Amen.